Word. Thank you for the power of your word. And your people are here, Lord. They're here to learn. And I just want to teach this morning some of the stuff that you've been teaching me. Thank you for it, Lord. Open our hearts, open our minds in Jesus' name. All right. So I've been thinking a lot about faith, you know, on my back there, just thinking about what faith is and pure faith. And I told you I want to do some teaching on faith, and I'm going to teach on faith from like all over. I want to talk about it. Today, I'm going to talk about King David and David's faith. What you notice in the Bible, I talked a little bit about this last week, but if you go into Hebrews 11, you'll see faith expressing itself in a multitude of different ways. As many people as there are, that's the opportunities that you have to exercise faith. And everybody's life takes them on a different trajectory. And how God is going to work in your life is going to be different than somebody else's. But one of the things I noticed about faith in the Word, faith always results in action. Someone's always doing something. And the enemy of your soul, he wants to paralyze you in self-doubt. He wants to paralyze you in condemnation. He wants to paralyze you into, Charlie said today, that condemnation where you don't feel worthy. Or he wants you to feel small, like, well, God, isn't going to use me. There's a thousand things that the enemy of your soul will do to stop you from living in faith. But the Bible says that the just shall live by faith. And I'm telling you, God has designed our life. You're a believer, and God is active in your life. God will not let you live a life that doesn't require faith. Did you know that? You won't be able to retreat from it. Every time you try to back away from it, there'll be things happen in your life because God's designed it that people that are just or people that are made righteous live by faith. I think sometimes we like to kind of sit back and ease and make a treaty with the devil, like, you don't bother me, I won't bother you. And you know, that just doesn't work. Because sooner or later, he's going to bother you. Or you'll get so complacent. But because God has a purpose and a plan for every believer, and he has things that he wants you to do, when you become a Christian, the Word says that God wants to take you from faith to faith. And if you're not living a life where you're expecting God to take you from faith to faith, you're shortchanging yourself. How many times have I preached up here? And it is so true. When I was laying on my back, thinking about how insignificant I am in the scheme of things, and really how fast life can go, how your life can go, it just reminded me that life truly is a vapor. It just comes to you. When you're on your back, it's a good time to think about that things. When you're out living and you have the vanity of life and the pride of life, you don't think about it. But, I think every person when they're, I remember I've told the story about the funeral, Pam, when I went to, and how old was that guy? About 80-something, 85, and I did this funeral. And there were two ladies, they were in the back, they were in their 70s, and they both said, he was so young, and Pam heard it. And we just kind of laughed, he was so young, he was too young. I think he was like 85 years old, and I think, well, that guy lived a long, good life, And but this is how it seems. When your time to go comes, I really believe you look back and think, man, Becky, I know that you look back, and doesn't it just seem like it was yesterday, you're in high school, and then married, and then had your job, and then, your husband, the dentist, all the things that you did, and look at you now. And it's just like that, isn't it? Charlie, just yesterday, you were in Honduras, and before that, you were in Florida, and you were in the Navy, and just time just keeps moving on. And so we don't have all the time in the world, but God has arranged your life. And if you're paying attention to the Lord, he is putting you in situations where you'll live by faith. And God is giving every man and every woman in this congregation, every believer, he's talking to you. He's got one of the reasons we did Newark's Got Talent, and one of the reasons we do Utica's Got Talent is we're telling people. One of the big messages of Newark's Got Talent was, hey, God has given every person in this world gifts and callings. And he wants you to use those. He wants you to take what he has given you and put it to good. And people say, well, you know, I can't do this and I can't do. You can do a lot. You can do a lot. And I mean, there's so much that the church needs people to be involved in, but there's things in your individual life that God puts gifts and calls. One of the things that God was teaching me too, you know, like when I was praying and I just wanted to believe God, and I say, Lord, you know, I don't do sickness, Lord. And I said, I'm going to believe you, and prayed for health and healing. And I got knocked on my butt. And I'm saying, Lord, I don't do this very good. And I'm laying there and I'm saying, God, what do I do? I don't want to just lay here. I don't like it. And then the Lord was talking to me a lot when I was on my back. And I said, Lord, what do I do? He said, Brad, you got to start moving. You just can't accept this. You got to start moving. And the Lord just began to talk to me. It was almost like he was saying, he says, Brad, what do you got in your hand? What can you do? I said, Lord, I'm not winning this battle. And it was like the Lord started talking to me. You know how I teach a lot? I said, God will meet you at the point of your faith. Did you know that? Wherever you're at, God will meet you right there. You know, when that little boy, when they said that the 5,000 people were hungry, and they said, look, but here's a boy. He's got, you know, what was it, 12 loaves or 5 fish or something. He said, here he is. That wasn't very much, was it? But like the Lord was saying, okay, what do you got in your hand? What do you have available? What can you get a hold of where you can believe God? And they gave, this little boy gave his lunch to Jesus. And Jesus just took those 5 fish and those 12 loaves, and he took those things and he multiplied it because that boy was willing to give it to the Lord. And many times, you know, when Jesus would come up to somebody and they would talk to him and they would say, Lord, he'd say, what do you want? I don't know where people got this God, and I mentioned this a lot. I know that God doesn't care about what you need. Do you know the Jesus of the Bible, when he approached people, do you know he always said to people, and I don't know where, I think it's religion, but he always said to people, what can I do for you? Did you notice that? That's the Jesus of the Gospels. He was a need meter, and he would come up to people, and he would say, hey, what can I do for you? And they would tell him what they needed, and Jesus would meet their need. And a lot of times, the Lord would tell them, they would come up, and he would say, well, be it to you according to your faith. So what are you expecting? He says, well, be it to you according to your faith. Like, what are you believing? I remember the man had the epileptic son. Now listen, guys, this is important. He had the epileptic son, and he said, came up to the Lord. He said, Lord, if you can do anything, please help me. What did the Lord say to them? Remember? I think it's Matthew 17. He looked at him and said, if I can do anything, if you can believe God, all things are possible. He just turned it right back around, and he says, what are you willing to believe? What do you believe? And that's how faith is. He says, what do you believe? What are you expecting? Jesus said, hey, the issue is not with me. I can do anything. With God, all things are possible. What are you willing to believe? So something the Lord was telling me as I went through this thing, after about 2 weeks of just laying around, he's like, you know, what do you got in your hand, Brad? What can you do? I said, Lord, I got to do something. So the Lord just started talking to me. He said, get up. Don't just lay there. And just little by little, every day, I'd say, Lord, what do I do today? Mow your grass. I took my shirt off and showed my scrawny little, but I never do that. I never take my shirt off. Even when I'm built, I just don't. I took my shirt off and soaked the sun up and went out and mowed grass. Do you know, after I mowed that grass, I felt great for about 6 hours. Felt awesome. I remember I was feeling as weak as could be. Pam remembers, and I was like, Pam, the Lord told me to go weed whack. Weed whack because Jeff forgot to come over and help me. So, no, I'm just messing with Jeff. Just kidding. And I was glad, though. And Charlie came over and cut my grass a couple times. You know, and I just said, okay, Lord, and I got up. And you know what? I didn't feel any strength until I started weed whacking. And I got done weed whacking, I felt like a champion for about 6 hours. You know, I felt great. and everything. You know, the Lord just started saying, you just can't sit there. And so I just started acting. What do I do? And I remember one day coming home and like I wanted to put my PJs on and snuggle up in my blanket. And the Lord said, no, you ain't doing that. You just said, you keep your clothes on. You keep your clothes on and don't you wrap up in a blanket. And I couldn't eat. I was eating. And I got somewhere I'm going with this. What I want to say to you, when we're talking about faith and where I'm going, I preach this all the time. There is a pure faith, and I'm going to teach on it, about how we can receive from God. And I've used it many times. But I have taught over and over again, God wants to meet you where you are at. A lot of times when I pray, and sometimes I just, God, give me a gift of faith. I'll just believe. Someone doesn't know the Lord very much. They're a baby Christian. I'll do all the believing. I'll do all the praying. But when I'm praying for a brother or sister that's mature in the Lord, I say, what are you believing for? Where are you at? Because I know I don't have a magic wand that I can wave over a mature Christian and just say, I got to say, where are you at? What are you believing God for? When you have a baby Christian, a lot of times God will just let you, give you a gift of faith and let you pray. But the Lord really does meet you where you're at. And you look in the scriptures, he's always saying, what are you believing for? Or be it to you according to your faith. And so folks, what you cannot do, you know, Gideon and Dina, you guys are looking for that place. And I'm sure that, you know, you're, you know, getting weary in the journey, you know, and you got your faith out there. But I believe any time we're in a situation, God is going to meet you where your faith is at. You cannot rule over. I was reading this scripture, you know, this in James. I love the book of James. James was telling me, Brad, count it all joy when you encounter all different types of trials. You know sometimes how hard that is to count something a joy. You're saying, I don't see it. But you know, God is our Father, and he's watching over us. The word says in James, if you ask God for wisdom, hear me, if you ask God for wisdom, God is going to give you wisdom. Lord, I don't know what to do with my kids. God, my finances are a mess. God, my relationship, it is disaster. But do you know the word says, if you go to God because he is your good, good Father, this isn't just religion. If we just have a religion, we can pray these little prayers. We can rose on rose beads and we can do all that. But if this thing isn't just religion and we really have a good, good Father, the Word of God says that God will absolutely give you wisdom and he will be generous about it. A lot of times we don't like what the Lord tells us, or, and James cautions us, we don't believe it when we pray that he's going to give us wisdom. Well, I know I pray, and I said, Lord, what am I going to do? And I know, I believe the Lord. He said, you got to start moving, kid. You got to start moving. And I just started hearing God, and I thank you so much for all the people that came over and prayed for me. And I don't deserve all the prayers and all the love and support I got. I don't deserve it. I thank you for it, but I just appreciate how many people came over and prayed for me. But folks, God is going to, and he wants to meet you at your point of need. He wants to meet you right there. But many times, rather than gain victory from our trials, if we are going to go from faith to faith, that means you're going to have a battle. Amen? If you are going to go from faith to faith, that means you are going to have some trials. If you're going to go from glory to glory, faith to faith, that means you're going to encounter things. And if you read the Old Testament, every battle, every situation you encounter, you see the Lord either arranged it or the children of Israel got in a mess or something happened and they were backed right in there and the Lord always had an answer when they... Now, if they got super disobedient, he'd let them get spanked and they'd come back and then he'd tell them, but he would always tell them what to do. And in your battles of faith and your walk with the Lord, you're going from faith to faith. God is your Father. I am telling you, God will tell you what to do. And when the Lord tells you what to do, you got to do it. That's something else that this, you know, and I'm going to, when I preach on just pure faith, something the Lord was showing me about faith. He says, Brad, when you pray, if you have faith, when you pray, this is what the Word of God says. It's not something I'm making up. Matthew 21, 21, Mark 11, 23, 25, the 15th chapter of John, and you could go on in other places. He says, when you pray, you believe that you are receiving from God. In other words, if you know the will of God and God's talked to you or you've read it in the Word and you know the will of God, when you pray at that point, you believe right there. And this is the part where people, they miss it. They believe God and the Lord says, Brad, and when you believe God and when you pray and you receive, then you act like it. You step out on what you're believing and you start walking. Everywhere you see faith demonstrated in the Old Testament, God always had them put feet to it. They walked right up to that River Jordan, did they not? And they had the Ark of the Covenant. And you are the Ark, by the way. You're the Ark of the Covenant. They had that Ark with them. And they're standing there, and that water had not budged one inch. And the Lord said, step forward. And they took that first step, and their toes got wet. And they took that second step, and all of a sudden the water went shh, and it was gone. Everywhere you see faith, you see it like that. You pray, you believe, and you act. And that's like a pure faith. But I know a lot of times we're not there. We just have a little bit of faith. We got a little bit of something in our hand. And I truly believe God wants to meet you there too. I was asking Pam, do you know what? I'm going to ask you guys. Do you know what keeps more people away from the promises of God? What do you think? Yeah, who said that? Unbelief. Just not believing. What causes unbelief? I mean, I battle unbelief. We all battle unbelief. What causes unbelief as a Christian? What causes your unbelief? What's that? Yeah, past experiences. Say, well, Lord, you know, this is what happened last time. Fear, and fear is kind of almost like its own category. But you have fear, we get afraid. Unbelief has robbed more Christians of blessings. Well, I want to talk about David and David's faith, and I think this will help you because I am not here to beat you up. I'm here to encourage you that when you pray and you ask God for wisdom, he's going to give it to you. And he's going to give you some instruction. Didn't I preach on instructions not too long ago? God will give you instruction. And when you do what God says, 100% of the time, God will do what he says. If he's telling you to do something, he'll open the door for you to walk through that door. And one very significant thing, and here as I'm going to go through David and Goliath, and I'll have to be quick. I'm trying to get to David and Goliath, David's faith. But one very significant thing, when David is going to fight Goliath, and this is my story, and like I said, I'll have to go quick. Do you know David, before he fought Goliath, you know he had already fought a bear? He had already fought a bear. He had already been on the mountain peaks, and he was doing his job. He was watching the sheep, and a bear tried to come up. David used to sing songs to God. He would stand up on the hills, and he would sing songs to God, and he would write songs, and he would worship God. David cultivated a relationship with the Lord. David didn't just go to church on the Sabbath. David was up on those mountains, and he was talking to God. David was learning God, and he was becoming intimate with God. Does not the Word say that David was a man after God's own heart? David valued his relationship with God. And church, that's where I want you to begin. I want us to value our relationship with God. The Word of God says, and the Word cannot lie, if you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. That is my great hope right now. I say, Lord, if I'm going to be guilty of anything, I am going to draw near to you. I'm not where I want to be. I'm not seeing all I want to see. I'm just going to draw closer because I want to know you. Paul said, look, I count everything rubbish compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing God. I want to know you, Jesus. And I want to know the power and he put priority on that. And that's what David did. Then you're right, later he killed a lion, right? You know, David, all those people that followed David, you know those people were killing giants and they were killing lions. Where did they learn that? All David's mighty men. They were killing lions, killing giants. Where'd they learn that? I learned from David. David was a lion killer. He was a giant killer. And he was teaching his men how to do it. You can teach faith. And faith can, they hung out with the lion killer. So David's first thing was he was very intimate with the Lord. And so by the time the story of Goliath comes, David already knew what God would do. He wasn't guessing what God would do. He knew God, and he knew exactly. He told them, hey, I killed a lion, and I killed a bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be no different. So he had experience, and he had relationship with God. And that's what we need, experience and relationship. And you do that by growing. You do that by learning. You do that by stepping out on what you have. You don't do it by complaining or saying, nothing ever works out for me, or that's good for Brother Brad, but that doesn't work, or I'm not worthy. You do that by fighting the fight of faith. And folks, if the church was ever in a fight, we're in a fight now. Someone say amen. Amen. We're in a battle, and we're in the battle of the ages. God wants mighty men, and he wants warriors, and he wants to put a faith in you. You'd be amazed what kind of faith that God wants to put in you, but he wants to put a faith in you where your back doesn't bend and you're able to stand up to anything and look it in the eye and say, I'm not moving. Another thing David did, man, I'm not going to have time to get in. I'm going to just read a little bit and touch on Goliath and David, but another thing David did, you will notice when you read through the book of Samuel and you read about David's life, David inquired of the Lord. He talked to God. He said, Lord, what should I do? He'd get into a battle, and sometimes the Lord would say, don't do anything. There's one story, God said, Lord, what should I do? And the Lord said, when the wind moves through the mulberry bushes, that's when I want you to attack. What did David do? He waited for that wind to blow through the mulberry bushes, and when it did, he attacked. Bible says over and over again that David inquired of the Lord. David prayed. He was not an independent, spirited person where he thought he could just go out in the world and run. He used to ask God. So church, we need to be in relationship with the Lord, drawing near to God. We need to gain experiences through listening to God, and we need to be inquiring of the Lord. Lord, what should I do? That's something the Lord was teaching me too at this time in my life. Lord, what should I do? Pam knows just about every day. I say, God, who is it? I'll call people and I'll visit people and the Lord will say, go see this person or go call this person or go do this. I'll talk all the time. Lord, what are we going to do today? What are we going to do today, Jesus? And I cannot believe the more that I pray, hear this, okay? Hear this. The more that I pray, whether it's in tongues, which if you don't, we'll talk about that one day. It's good for you. Or whether I pray in the natural. The more that I pray, I am just amazed at the coincidences that happen in my life. I mean, just amazed at the coincidences. I could give you 10 stories of things that have gone on. I had to get a hold of the police department, and they just wouldn't call me back. And I'm just really praying. My energy's coming back. I'm seeking God, and I'm praying. You know, and I'm jogging down Central Avenue, and I'm coming back, and I'm jogging back to Central Avenue. An old policeman walks out the door, and I just jog over. He goes, oh, yeah, I was supposed to call you back. And boom, we just made that connection. And the Lord does that all the time. The more that I pray, it's just like the more coincidences that happen in my life. Last Thursday, I was sitting there eating with a bunch of kids, and it's just like the Lord said, get over here and move and eat with the adults. I normally don't. And I sat across from a woman, and she started telling me her health problems. What do you think was her health problem? Yes, her feet. I said, you got to be kidding me. Your feet bothering you? And she goes, yeah. And she's telling me about her feet. And she said her back, and you know, Brother Brad laid hands on her feet. Her eyes got as big as saucers. she started walking in her. I said, you feel any pain? She goes, no, I don't feel any pain. I said, how's your back feel? And she moved it and something popped in her back. I said, how's your back feel? That was just a coincidence that the Lord had me get up, leave the kids, and go over and sit across from this woman who I did not know. That was just a coincidence, right? That was just a coincidence that she had feet problem. And when she told me that I got feet problem, I didn't have any choice. And if you weren't here last week, we was praying for feet last week. I didn't have any choice. And I just, the more that I pray, I can tell you stuff from yesterday, guys, God did just yesterday. The more that I pray, the more that I find the Spirit of God just naturally just leads me. Just naturally. He'll put me in situations. You know, you struggle about witnessing, you struggle about that. You start praying. You get your face before God. You pray in the Spirit. You get quiet before God. You will be amazed at how God will roll out of your life, the things that He'll do just naturally because you're seeking God and His Spirit. He'll just make things that you struggled to do for so long will come natural. I'm going to read a few verses here, and I'm going to encapsulate. I'm past my time. We inquire of the Lord. When the Lord gives us instructions, we take the instruction God gives us, and we act on it. And when you do that, you'll gain experience. And then the next time that you have that trial, you'll have that experience. You'll have that foundation with the Lord. You'll know that God is as good as His Word, because God cannot lie. Listen to this. And I'll let you all go. And when the words were heard, which David spoke, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let not man's heart fail because of the giant. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. What courage was in David? What made David so different? Everybody else was cowering. Saul stood hands and feet above everybody. What made this little 5'4" shepherd boy so courageous? He said, I'll go fight. You see Goliath's about, 9 foot tall? David was probably about 5'4". What courage was that in that boy? What was it inside of him that drove him? What's that? That's the experience with God, and the spirit of faith was in him. He knew God. He said, don't let your heart fear. Do you know they accused David of being proud and haughty? You step out on faith, they'll accuse you of that too. You start believing God will do big things. They'll start telling you that you're proud and haughty. And sometimes people can be. As long as you know that it comes from the Lord, as long as you know that you can't heal a wet flea, you know if God don't show up and do it, it ain't going to happen. As long as you keep that in mind and know that, God will use you. And stay humble. He said, I'll go fight him. And Saul said to David, you're not able to go up against that Philistine and fight him. Look, you're just a kid, and this guy's a man of war. And David said, look, thy servant has kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after them, and I smote them and delivered them out of their mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard, and I smote him and slew him. The servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing that he hath defiled the armies of the living God. David said, look, this Philistine doesn't have any covenant with God. I've got a covenant. I'm circumcised. I've got God's promises. I don't care how big he is. I don't care how tall he is. He is uncircumcised, and he doesn't have a covenant, and I do. And I will take him down. I'm going to encapsulate the story because I don't have time, but I want to tell you. When David went out to face this giant, now think of your natural circumstances. Think about your life and what this means to you, whether it's a relationship, a job, whatever you're encountering, this great big old giant's out there, and he is railing on David. He's calling him a pipsqueak. He's saying, I am going to rip your head off, and I am going to feed your carcass to the dogs. I am going to wipe you out. What did David do? David put something in his mouth. David stood there, all 5'4", about 120 pounds of him, and he looked right at that giant, and he put the word of God in his mouth. He says, "Now you're coming at me with a javelin. You're coming at me with a spear, but I am coming at you in the name of the Lord." And I love this about the story. And it said, and David took off full bore and ran right at him. That's faith. David said, "I have the covenant. God is with me, and I'm going to take care of business with you." He says, "You are just an uncircumcised Philistine, and full of the faith of God, I want you to think of Goliath as your problem." He did not face his giant empty mouth, first of all. David had something to say before he charged. He spoke his faith right out of his mouth. The Bible says we have the same spirit of faith. Sometimes you got to pray, get with the Lord, pray in the Spirit, get down in there in your spirit, and just let the Spirit of God start speaking out of your mouth. That'll build your faith. Say, "No, this thing's going to work. This is not going to fail. God is with me, and we're going to do this thing, whatever it is." And you speak that thing. He spoke the word of God out of his mouth, and I love it so much. Folks, he ran right at the giant. He ran right at his problem. He didn't back away and say, "Well, maybe it's not God's will. Well, maybe this isn't what God wanted me to do. Or, you know, maybe I'm not supposed to do the outreach on the 22nd. Lord, I got knocked on my back, and maybe I'm not supposed to do Utica's Got Talent. God, I just want to kind of creep away and go hide in a hole, and I don't want to face my problems." That's not what David did. He had a covenant with God. He had a relationship with God, and he ran right at that thing and took it head on. A lot of times, church, we run. We go around the mulberry bush. You're like the children of Israel just marching around in the wilderness. You know what God was waiting for the children of Israel to do? Come on, listen to me. You know what he was waiting for them to do? He was waiting for them to believe. He just kept marching them around the mulberry bush. And they all died in the wilderness because they would not believe God. Guys, you got the spirit of faith. You got the word of God. You have the ability to stand up and face your problems. You will not do it if you do not value the presence of God. You won't do it if you don't value some time with the Lord. And I know I need more time than most people, I know. But there has to be something that you're pursuing God and you're spending time with God and you're learning God. You know, people that don't go to church and miss church just for the easiest reason. I'm not getting on. I love anybody. I tell Pam, I don't judge anybody. People can do what they want to do. But you don't value the presence of God, when it comes time for the word of God to be in your mouth, it will not be there. It won't be there. You'll be crying for mercy instead of standing up with God inside of you and speaking out, knowing what God's saying to you. If you don't value your time in the word of God, and I'm not here to condemn you for that, we have to put value on that. And I got good news for you. Every believer here is like David in God's eyes. Every believer here, the Bible says you're a king. Every believer in this church, God says you're a priest. Every believer in this church, God says you can put the word of God in your mouth. God doesn't have any favorites. And here's good news. God will absolutely meet you where you are at, wherever you're at. But I can promise you, God is always going to give you an instruction. He is always going to tell you to do something. Someone say amen. Amen. All right, praise the Lord. I guess I'm done. How many is ready to operate in some faith? And I'm not done teaching on faith. I didn't even get to my message. And I want to teach more on faith. You look in this word, and you know, faith doesn't just operate in one way. God, you read Hebrews chapter 11. They did all kinds of things by faith. Someone say amen. They did all kinds of things by faith. Father, I pray for the church today. I thank you, and I love everybody here, Lord, the ones that are here and the ones that aren't, Lord. And I pray, God, that we will be a people that know that we have a covenant with you. We are not beggars, God. How can we be sons of God and be beggars? That refrigerator is our refrigerator, and we have access to it, Lord. Your word declares that you've blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places right now. Father, your word says that everything that we need for this life and for godliness, You've already supplied it through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's already ours, Lord. It already belongs to us. God, the word says that you have left us an inheritance. And Lord, that inheritance is more than just things. It is an inheritance of sinners to bring to heaven. It is an inheritance of ministry. There are so many things that you've left us in that inheritance. God, you left us a last will and testament. Jesus signed it with his blood. He said, it's finished and it belongs to you. Paul said, all things belong to you. I pray, Lord, that the church, that we as a group of believers, we just run away from condemnation on every front, Lord, and we learn to believe that we are children of God, that we are sons and we're daughters of God, and we can stand up in this world with our back straight and your word in our mouth, and we can expect you to do exactly what you say you're going to do. Lord, I pray for every need in this body. I pray that you'll be gracious to your people. I pray for your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, go out and fight your battles. Candy, I want to see you.